A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, let's talk about Cyberpunk. It's been a couple of weeks. Now, there's meant to be a big old patch coming very soon, the 1.2 patch for the game itself. But I guess we'll wait and see how that's going to go. We might do a follow-up news thing, depending on the state that that leaves the game in. But speaking of things that leave the game in a certain state, their lead gameplay designer, Andre Sawadzki, has left CD Projekt Red after 8 years of being at the studio. This is a dude that worked on The Witcher 3. He was initially started as a junior gameplay designer on Cyberpunk and was moved up to the senior position apparently at the beginning of March 2020. So he didn't get that much time in place as senior. But I think it's worth talking about because it is obviously directly going to affect how the game plays out from here on in. He won't be around for the multiplayer expansion. He won't be around for the various tweaks and things that will be happening across the rest of the year. And again, like I just said, you know, we still have the 1.2 patch to come. But the initial patch notes they've put out for that in regards to they're adding an option to unstick your car if it gets stuck on the side of the road, they're making it so that the police spawn a little bit further away from you rather than close. It probably isn't going to be the complete game overhaul that a lot of people want it to be, but also I think it's worth having this wider conversation as to where CDPR are at, because I'll get to it in a sec, but they've also lost a few other key staff members over the years. But how does this strike you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them, like, whatsoever, you know what I mean? Like, you mentioned that they came on as the lead designer in March 2020. Well, the game was supposed to ship in April, like, originally, wasn't it, before it got delayed? And then it was supposed to be September, then it was December. So I feel very bad that this lead designer, and all of the developers, really, have taken, like, the brunt of the criticism, a brunt of the abuse and the harassment, which obviously is not great. And a lot of the responsibility for this game's state, when ultimately it's the decision makers at the top who, you know, stuck to a release date no matter how good the game itself was, no matter how high the quality was. And it's just like, if I was in that company, man, like, I imagine you'd want to get out too, because, you know, what's the alternative? You work on this game that is just getting, you know, trashed and try to get it to a fixable state. Like, that's not a very luxurious job, if you ask me.
Not right now, either. Like, it's not like we're in this, like, amazing time where it's like, oh, you know, knuckle down, No Man's Sky, here we go. Like, it's if you're in the middle of that hellfire, I can't blame you just wanting to get the hell out. Because Sawadzki was one of the people tweeting in amongst all the horrible response that CDPR got by some of the most vitriolic fans. You know, he was the guy tweeting saying, you know, in response to the death threats and the general backlash, saying, look, we're people just like you, this stuff is unacceptable and it has to stop. So assuming he's been weathering the storm for the last few months anyway. Which is a horrible, that's a whole kind of, not necessarily an entirely separate thing, but I think obviously fan backlash is something that needs to be addressed every time it comes up. But there is, alongside the brass tacks reality that Cyberpunk is an unfinished product and that he was the senior gameplay designer on it. So it's like, how the hell does the team go forward without him? And it reminded me a little bit of what happened with Anthem, where it's just sort of like you're throwing different people into these lead positions, hoping for the best. Where those decisions come from, you know, whether it's something that he chased beforehand or whether it was something that the management did. Either way, you don't necessarily have that lead position anymore for the game at the most important time for it. So it's, I don't know, like, I mean, I mentioned before about other members of CDPR leaving. Back in 2014, I'll try and get their names right. I did Google it, how to pronounce these people's names. Two other lead creatives from The Witcher 3 left in 2014. Marek Zemek and Maciej Stajniak left in 2014. I'm quite proud of myself, got that right. But yeah, they were apparently, according to, not necessarily them specifically, but assumedly they would have been part of the group that were referenced in the Bloomberg report, wanting Cyberpunk to be more like The Witcher 3, to be this third-person thing going forward. That was before studio head Adam Badowski apparently stepped in and, you know, rejigged the entire project, made it a bit more like, he, you know, making it more like something that would chase G2. GTA. And that seems to be the way that the project sort of rolled out. So I think all that stuff is worth addressing as well, that if you're, even if you're, the management side isn't seeing the vision that you're trying to put together, it's all the more reason to just say, I'm actually done. Like, I'm actually
I mean, like you said, you mentioned Anthem. Like, there have been so many games that have had similar stories like this. I mean, look at something like Halo Infinite, which is still in development and has gone through so many different creative leads, so many different designers coming on and trying to replace creative directors. And when you get, like, these major roles in video game production constantly shifting, it results in a game that kind of just feels a little bit rudderless. And I'm not saying that we should, you know, stick with it through thick and thin. Like, if a game, if you're clashing with executives, if it's not, like, if you feel like you're compromising a vision, obviously, you know, it's entirely fair to jump ship and decide that this isn't what I want to do. This is what I want to spend years of my life literally committing myself to. But at the same time, like, it is indicative of a huge issue inside the structure of this company, that all of these lead roles just keep shifting around, and people who were involved in, you know, the successes like The Witcher 3 are kind of either leaving or clashing against creative decisions that are overriding the expertise and the kind of just the expertise, I suppose, of the people who have made your company like what it is in the first place.
It makes you wonder, because I keep having this like sort of weird, like, you know, internal dark feeling that I wonder just what Cyberpunk is going to be across the rest of this year. Because for me, I mean, I've always said I really enjoyed that game. I know that it's best on PC, but I still think it's solid enough on the next gen consoles. There are obviously problems with the police and the aspects that are more GTA focused that just feel severely undercooked, but I think you can still have a totally enjoyable time playing it as an RPG. I mean, I didn't go anywhere near the, you know, let's go on a crime spree and see what happens type stuff. I was too busy enjoying the story and, you know, playing that way. I know you were like mostly the same too. But the feeling that I have is just, at what point do we draw a line under it and just say, look, this was what they were going for. You know, they weren't doing a GTA type thing. Is that more of an issue with the marketing like it was with Halo 5? And it's not like there aren't systems in the game that, you know, hint at that stuff. Like, there is a wanted level system or there is police response and everything. But at some point, what do you draw a line under and just say, this was the vision we were going for. This stuff got way out of control. I don't know how you rein it in. I don't know where you make those compromises. I don't know if you end up trying to No Man's Sky it and just chase the version that the fans want, that is this weird nebulous version that's half marketing and half BS. Like, I don't know.
Oh, man. See, for me, when it comes to Cyberpunk, like, I don't know what the vision was, because you say that, you know, a lot of the marketing was focused on, like, this is a Cyberpunk GTA, but then a lot of the mechanics, even though they're not finished, obviously, still lean towards that. And I don't think that this is a true RPG that was kind of, like, transformed at the last minute to include these GTA elements. It feels like very much a game of, like, two different visions. Yeah. Like, both of them seem to be fighting each other from the get-go, from, like, minute one all the way through to the end. So I feel like that was a problem all the way through development. And now we've got this game that tries to be everything. It obviously didn't have the time to achieve that vision. Probably would have needed, like, another 3 years to hit those lofty goals of being a hardcore RPG while also being this open-world mayhem simulator, you know what I mean? So going forward, I don't know how we get to the point without, you know, completely going back to the drawing board and, you know, just gutting what is there. Like, I don't think you can just decide to focus on the RPG elements, because then you've got all of these systems that are still in the game that kind of, like, jar with it. But then you can't go down the full GTA route, because then you've got the RPG systems and you've got the RPG fans who came after The Witcher 3 who would be disappointed with that as well. Like, I don't know, like you said, you know, we've done so many videos on Cyberpunk at this point, and I still don't know where that line that you draw under it would be. At what point does this become a complete game? Like, is it just when the bugs are fixed? Is it just when it plays as it should have at launch, like it did on the PC? Or is it when it fulfills the expectations that the developers set beforehand and the marketing set beforehand of it being this kind of, like, next level thing? I just don't know. Like, I just don't know at what point it gets to a finished state.
Well, yeah, and that's a whole other thing, is, like, at what point do they say we've done enough, and, you know, that's the amount of mechanics we were happy sort of putting out. Like I said, when do you draw a line under it in regards to reviewing it? Like, you know, you could go to any game that came in as a 6 out of 10, a 7 out of 10, and just say, well, if they spent more time making this, then we can get this part up and we can improve this thing, we can sort the graphics out, the AI, whatever, make it more of a 9 out of 10, a 10 out of 10. That assumption comes alongside CDPR, that assumedly there's some sort of secret source in there that they weren't allowed to finish or didn't get to finish, that would make it more more like a Witcher 3 level game, as opposed to maybe this is just forever an 8 out of 10 or a 9. I mean, for me, it's like an 8 out of 10, a 9 out of 10. I get that it's way lower for different people. But like, at what point is it just done and we have to just live with it and that's what the game is and we just go forward, as opposed to hoping for this version of the game that... Who even knows if it even exists? Like, ostensibly, yeah, it's the Snyder Cut of Cyberpunk. It's in there somewhere. And just over a long enough time period, they'll, you know, resurrect whatever mechanics they were working on or streamline certain things. But yeah, the conversation around it continues to just be, at least for me, fascinating. I think, I don't know if you're like completely sick of it. I think it is insane, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sick of it. I just want it to be good and I want it to be over, you know what I mean? I kind of like want some good news to come out of it. Yeah. You know, I want some good news for the devs. I want some good news for the fans who still feel burned. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we're not getting that yet. Like you said, we had the recent patch, which did fix some good things, but we've got like so much that CD Projekt Red is a company that they're dealing with. And I just feel really sympathetic for the people who are left working on it. Obviously, we had the big cyber attack. We've got them, you know, working on all these patches. They've delayed like the free DLC stuff. Like we said at the beginning, developers like the lead and so many others are still receiving like harassment and threats, which is just it's just not fun.
It's not even
great.
On the PlayStation Store yet either. Like where
the game is still not on the PlayStation Store. It's been like 90 days plus, maybe 100 days and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just all of this like just toxic kind of things coming from all angles, and I just want some good news on it, mate. I just want some niceness to come out of the situation.
Well, don't worry, by the end of the month you can unstick your car, so if it gets stuck, you just rock it a bit and you're away again. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below of Cyberpunk 27. Do you see a future for it across the rest of 2021, or at what point do you draw the line under it as just the game that we got and we have to live with it? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com,
and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.